Ladies and gentlemen, and fellow golfers, for your entertainment.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa, brought to you by Hagen Oaks, America's most awarded golf facility, and Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality.
Thank you for being with us on the Golf to Go Radio Hour. Hi, I'm Frank LaRosa, along with Scott Marsh, welcoming in Angie Dixon. Angie is the Executive Director of First Tee Greater Sacramento. And Angie, thank you for being on the show with us. And you've got a couple of really special fundraisers coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for having me, Frank. We are excited. As you know, we've got our First Tee Invitational coming up on October 16th and 17th. We're excited to have you with us both of those days, but even more excited to have Gary Player with us. So
That is very exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty special. We're looking forward to it. We've got a VIP dinner on the 16th out at Del Paso in the evening. And then the next day we'll have our invitational golf tournament out at Catavadera. We have some really nice support from the business community getting behind this event. It's our biggest fundraiser of the year, and we're thrilled to have Gary Player with us.
You know, I had the chance, I don't want to give away a lot, but I had the chance to interview him on the phone a few minutes ago, and we'll be playing that interview right after you. But he's excited about being here, too. He talked about, you know, remembering Sacramento for playing in the Gold Rush and the Senior Tour and all of that. And he is really excited about talking about youth. And if anybody in Sacramento knows anything about youth, it's certainly you and the First Tee, having 58,000, almost
yes.
60,000 juniors a year are affected by your program. That's a phenomenal number.
Yeah, we definitely reach out to a lot of young people in the area. We love the work we do. We're all about building character and creating active learning experiences for the kids, getting them engaged out there and just having fun. We're in 88 schools currently with our national school program and 9 program locations. And we're also doing some great work with some local community centers as well.
You know, Scott, if you remember back on the program, we had representatives from the RISE program, Reach, Inspire, Support, and Empower, which is also a program with First Tee. And I was really fascinated with that program. And Angie tells me that that they're going to expand that as well.
That's fantastic. Of course, I remember that. It's such a great program. And Angie, I know the tournament's coming up here quickly. It's on Monday, but I know there's still some spaces available for the dinner and for the tournament itself too. So
there's a couple. Yeah.
Yeah, I know there's just a couple left. I know we want to sell this completely 100% out. So it's just simply a matter of going to the First Tee Sacramento site, right? And registering.
Yes. Yep, on our website is where you can find all the information about it, for sure.
Yeah, and that dinner at Del Paso is going to be really special. And Frank, I believe you're emceeing that event, correct?
You know, I'm really excited about being on stage with Gary Player, and I'm sure he's excited about being on stage with me as well. But, you know, he was very charming in our phone conversation this morning. He's full of energy, and I think he said he's 87 years old now, and just keeping up with him will be a trick on stage. But yes, I'm looking forward to that as well. But
I think he'll have a lot to say. You know, he's not short on words. And there's only 5 people that have won the career Grand Slam, and he's one of them. So
he is one of them. And at the time, he was the youngest one to do it. Yeah.
Mm. That's exciting.
Yeah. And And you're right. He has an opinion about everything. And, you know, and at his age, you know, he doesn't have any reason not to give his opinion. So
right.
I think it'll be a very eventful evening. Just need to stay out of his way. Right.
Yeah, it's going to be special for sure. And, you know, like I said, it's our biggest fundraiser of the year, and it raises the funds for all the programs we do. So just like the RISE program that you're mentioning, we We are doing some great expansion in that this year. And so we're really looking forward to this fundraiser to help with that. We've expanded into the Oak Park area, and we've got a few different groups that we're working with there that we're really quite excited about bringing this program to more underrepresented youth and folks that really would never come out to the golf course. So it's about bringing it to them so they can experience it and experience the life skills and core values that we teach alongside it.
You know, I sound like a broken record sometimes when I reiterate the fact that First Tee is not a program that is about teaching golf to children, but rather it's a youth development program and uses the game of golf as the vehicle. So there's so much more happening in terms of helping to develop the skills that that children need to grow into responsible adults. And you're training, you know, the next generation.
Yeah, absolutely. Our tagline is building game changers. So we are all about building this next generation of game changers. And sure, they're going to learn golf in the program, but we hope that they learn how to be a contributing member of society and really an equipped young leader as they grow through the program.
You know, Gary has some interesting comments about youth and about the game of golf and about the value of the game of golf. And I won't give that away, but I'll just hold that and say that that he certainly is 100% right alongside you and the program in everything you do.
Yeah, it's so wonderful to have him do so. We were really excited to have Lee Trevino here yesterday. Feels like yesterday, last year. And we're, you know, Gary knows that Lee was here, and Lee told him what a great experience it was. And Gary was like, I want to go there as well and support the kids. And so for us, it's just really, it's a game changer for us to have these two pretty prestigious men from the game be here with us and kind of share. So we're really looking forward to it.
Yeah. And a lot of the credit to this happening and to the whole program happening has to go to your board of directors. You've got an incredible board that they're not just names on the door. They're actual working board members.
Yeah, absolutely. We have 30 board members. They are an amazing board. We cannot do the great work we do without them. They are the ones working tirelessly to make sure we have the funds to do all of the great programming with young people in this area. So we appreciate them for sure.
I would imagine that the board meetings are a lot of fun in that what you probably come up with is a lot more ideas that would be really exciting to do, but then you have to go out and find the funds to do it. So it's kind of a double-edged sword in what you do.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I do think that in our walks and kind of meeting with different community folks and hearing from people as to different potential partnerships, I'm always willing to listen to that and see what we can do first. And I just know we will be able to find the funding, because when you find something that's an amazing program for young people, in fact, I was just at the Optimist Club last week or 2 weeks ago, actually, and he just called me and said, you know what, we want to support you guys, but here's what we want to do. And we really want to help you get what you were speaking about getting in front of more foster youth. So they are going to, you know, support us in that endeavor next year. And, you know, he kind of said, let's just see however much it takes and we'll go and we're going to partner on this. So I think that happens a lot with us. We will hear of programs first and different community centers that want us involved or partnering with Shriners or Big Brothers, Big Sisters. And we pretty much never say no. And then we work to raise the funds. Yep.
Well, I won't put you on the spot by asking you what program would you like to see funded next? And, you know, see if our listeners could help, but I'll let you think about that. And maybe we'll have you on again to kind of talk about that as well.
Absolutely. That would be wonderful.
So the First Tee Invitational Monday at Catavadera and the First Tee dinner with Gary Player at Del Paso Country Club on Sunday night. That's, you have to be pretty proud of what, not only what the organization has accomplished, but what you've got planned for the future. And with events like this, you know, it just increases the footprint and increases people's knowledge of your organization.
It really does. It's super helpful for us to get the word out about First Tee and all the great work we're doing in the community. And, you know, the evening is going to be so special with Gary the first night, and having many of our board members and many of the folks in the room that are the high level sponsors that have made this event possible. It's kind of a treat for them to actually also have a really fun evening, all for a great cause.
Yep. Well, there's still a few tickets available for that. So
yes.
firsttsacramento.org. And I have to say the tournament, Frank, and I know Gary will do the same, but Lee Trevino, for people who just want to see these people swing still, like Lee Trevino put out a world-class exhibition at the driving range on the short game. I mean, world-class. You would pay the amount of money just to be out there to watch that as much as participate in the tournament. And so I know Gary's going to be as accessible. And so I can't encourage it more to get out there and be a part of things on Monday at the golf tournament.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty special. He'll do a clinic before play, and he's also going to be out there all day long on one of the par three holes hitting shots. So
taking pictures and all the great stuff.
We look forward to it. Angie, we continued success with First Tee Greater Sacramento for you personally, and certainly for the organization, your board of directors, and most importantly for the almost 60,000 juniors whose lives you touch every year. So keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you so much, Frank, and thank you, Scott.
This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour, back with Gary Player right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa.
Golf to Go Radio Hour is honored to welcome Mr. Gary Player to the show. Thank you so much for being with us. Gary is going to be here in Sacramento with the First Tee for the First Tee Invitational, and a special dinner for a select group at Del Paso Country Club the night before. Gary has fond memories of Northern California, having played here. We are so proud to welcome you, and thanks so much for being on the show.
Well, it's my pleasure, Frank, and I'm really looking forward to being there, and I hope I can meet a lot of the young guys, because, you know, the youth of a nation are the trustees of posterity. And here we have the greatest country on the world, and I can judge because I've traveled more miles than any human being ever now. And, you know, I just look forward to it. It's such a wonderful part of the country, the Northern California. We played the senior tour there, and we had the most enthusiastic galleries there. It was absolutely a treat to be there, and the way they treated us as well. So it's going to be a thrill for me to come back for many reasons, to be able to give the youth a couple of good messages, to keep this country going, to meet a lot of people, and to be having a dinner and meeting a lot of people that are my elders, maybe. Not many of them left, because most of my friends are dead now. I'm 87, but I'm still as fit as a fiddle. I'm still pushing 300 pounds with my legs. I'm running the treadmill at max. I've beaten my age in golf over 3,050 times in a row.
Oh my gosh.
I'm full of energy. Yeah, full of energy. I'm like a man of 25, you see. You see, if you exercise and you sleep well and you laugh a lot and you have positive thoughts, you can live a long time. We're supposed to live to 100. So I'm looking forward to living to 100. At least that's my dream.
You know, you've had such an incredible career, and everybody that knows you knows, you know, how many majors you've won and how many tournaments all over the world. And what I wonder is you know, as a young boy and you got your kind of your first set of golf clubs, what's the best piece of advice your parents ever had for you?
Well, the best thing that ever happened to me in my life, and though it's tough, death can be terrible, but it can also be part of life, the circle of life. And the best thing that I learned, when my mother died when I was 9, and I adored my mother. My father worked on a gold mine 8,000 feet underground. My brother at 17 left high school, and South Africa have the best high schools in the world. And he left at 17 against my mother and father's wishes to fight with the Americans and its allies in the war. And, you know, I came home from this great school that I went to in the evenings, and there was a dark house, and I had to cook my own food at 10 years of age and 9, and also make my bed, which is an important thing for young people to do. And I lay in bed every night wishing I was dead. I was crying. Greatest gift ever bestowed upon me. The greatest gift a man or woman can ever receive is to receive adversity, because if you can beat it, your life is full of joy, and it's a grounding that no university, no psychiatrist can ever improve on.
That's remarkable. You know, you're coming out, obviously, in support of the first tee of Greater Sacramento. Tell us a little bit about your feelings about the first tee and about junior golf in general.
Well, the first tee have done a remarkable job, and I had a whole group of the first tees come to my house in Florida, and what a great experience that was. Children of all different religions and colors. It was just so encouraging for me to see these young people taking up golf, because you see, I was a four-letter man at college, but I can tell you, they were Mickey Mouse compared to golf. Golf is the passport to the world. Golf is a game that is so different to other sports. Other sports are play and away. If you play the NFL for 3 years, you've done exceptionally well, unless you're a Tom Brady. But in golf, I won a tournament at 63. Every other sport is play and away. Golf is play and stay. It helps you to get a job in life. It's enabled me to be in the poor villages of Africa and India and yet be amongst almost every president of the last 65 years of the greatest country in the world, the United States of America. And this is what we've got to get through to the youth. We've got to make sure these young people realize how blessed they are to live here and to work hard. And so there are many messages I have that I look forward to addressing some of these young boys and girls.
You know, you certainly have a long and rich history in supporting charity as well, and your own foundation, the Player Foundation, helps underserved children around the world. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, my daughter runs the Gary and Vivian Foundation here in Philadelphia, where I am at the moment, and we had our first experience up here in Philly, where, you know, abused children, not having much of a chance in life. And we raised $700,000. We then went down to Florida and gave $150,000 of that to a place called Place of Hope, where young children that had been abused and they had foster parents there. It was so, so comforting to see what these people are doing. And I was astounded to know recently that one out of every six children in this great country or below the poverty line. That was a very, very surprising stat to read and listen to that. Very disappointed. You know, I've got quite a different philosophy. I say, stop giving money to people that don't like you. Rather take those hundreds of millions and put it into the youth that are going to benefit this country. That's just my opinion. But it's going to be a great experience coming down there through golf, which is the greatest catalyst for raising money. One way or another in my life, we've raised over $100 million for different charities. So I'm very grateful for what golf has done for me. My goodness me, what a sport. And as I tell young people, you can travel anywhere in the world and you can play a golf course. It doesn't apply to all sports, probably tennis, which is also another sport, but there's not a lot of longevity there. If you look at the champions in the world of tennis, they're all retiring at 34. You know, Jack Nicklaus won the Masters when he was 46. I won the Masters when I was 42. So golf is a game of longevity, and it can help you in your business and the friends you make and the lesson you make. Having to be on time, having to respect your opponent. It has so many messages, which I don't want to tell you too many of them because I'm coming to talk there. Sunday.
Absolutely. You know, you mentioned the Masters, and you have the record there, having started 52 times. How incredible is that?
Yes. Well, you know, when you exercise and you undereat and you sleep well and you laugh a lot and you do meditation and you have good faith in your life, whatever your religion may be, it's a big help. And I played in the record British Open as well, 46 straight times. So, you know, it's been a great thrill for me. And to have traveled where I've traveled around the world and the things that I've learned and learned to respect people of different opinions. You know, today I see people, if you're a Trump fan, they want to fight you. If you're a Biden fan, they want to fight you. My dad always said to me, listen to a man's opinion and you'll learn something. We've got to have respect for each other's opinions and ways of life, haven't we?
We certainly do. And I love your message. You know, I don't want you to give it all away because, as you mentioned, you're coming here to Sacramento to talk to some folks. And but I'd be remiss if I let you get off this radio interview without at least making mention of the big three. How did it feel, and how does it feel today? I guess what I want to ask is, was your relationship different when you were playing until, you know, the competition level kind of went away?
Frank, there will never be another big three like Arnold, Jack, and myself. Now, I'm not talking about playing ability. You see, in our days, it wasn't all big money and big business with private jets. They visited my ranch in South Africa. They went down a gold mine with me. We went to the beautiful beaches of South Africa. And, you know, I went to their homes, and Jack Nicklaus came to my ranch. And, you know, Arnold and I flew around the world together. We were friends for over 50 years. We traveled the world without big appearance monies, promoting the game of golf and just what a wonderful sport it is, and raising money for people that really needed help. And there's no greater gift bestowed upon a man to be able to change the lives of people. My heritage will not be that I won the most golf tournaments in the world and I was the only man to win the Grand Slam on both tours, etc., and 18 majors. No, my legacy, I want it to be that I helped change the lives of people that needed help, because I know what it's like. I experienced it personally, what it was like to suffer. Maybe not as bad as a lot of other people, but it was living like a junkyard dog. So it was a great lesson for me. And being with Arnold and Jack, you know, we loved each other. We were so fierce. We wanted to beat each other so badly we could taste it every time. But we all had our turns of beating each other. It turned out pretty equally in the long run. And, you know, we were such great friends. And that's not easy to do. And our friendship after the tour continued. And I just loved Arnold Palmer. He was such a good man. I get quite choked talking about him. He did so much, so kind to people. And Jack Nicklaus is the greatest gentleman I ever played with. And we had these fierce battles, and yet we could love each other and continue to strive to improve the planet.
Mr. Player, I love your message. I can't tell you how excited I am to be with you this Sunday and Monday, and to sit on stage with you and ask some questions and just listen, because your message is incredible. You're an admirable human being, and we appreciate all you've done for not only for golf but for humanity, and look forward to seeing you here in Sacramento in a couple of days.
Thanks, Frank, and God bless, my friend. Look forward to seeing you all.
Be well. Be well. Thank you.
Okay.
So much.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa.
Mike Green is the head golf professional at Del Paso Country Club and has been so for almost 40 years. I mean, just shy a couple of months. And Mike is a friend and has been for years. And I don't know why it's taken so long to get him on the show. But Mike Green, welcome to the Golf to Go Radio Hour.
Thank you so much, Frank. It's really good to be with you.
You know, Mike, when you think about the history of the golf course that you've been at for so many years, it really is an integral part of Sacramento and a part of the community. At 107 years old, did you say?
Yeah, just about.
Yeah. You know, when you think about all of the events that have gone on over there, USGA events, celebrity events, community events, you know, almost everybody has been touched one way or another by Del Paso Country Club if they live in Sacramento.
It's been one of the most remarkable things, you know, that I've been able to experience in my time here. And it really began when I first started, clear back to the Swing at Cancer Celebrity Pro-Am that Bob Hirsch began. And to watch that event over the years, what a important part of the community it was. Over that 25-year period, I mean, they raised over $5 million for cancer research and funded the Sharing Place here in Sacramento. And as you mentioned, it would be occasion after occasion where the membership of this club, just their generosity, stepping up for the community. Once the Swing at Cancer was finished, we then moved into the Del Paso Charity Golf Marathon and Pro-Am for Kids. And the membership raised over $625,000 for children's charities here in Sacramento. And then certainly moving into the 2015 U.S. Senior Open, again, was probably one of the greatest experiences that I've had. And to see that event come to Sacramento, it brought over $1 million of revenue to the community. And it resulted in the largest first tee donation, I believe, in their history. So it's just been remarkable to see what this membership is doing. And now with the Del Paso Foundation, they've distributed over $1 million in scholarships to youth in the community. So it's just a tribute to this membership and the club.
You mentioned the U.S. Senior Open, which was, I think, the fifth of the USGA events that have been held there over the years. But, you know, to have all of that going on around you, I have to tell you that, you know, every time I bumped into you that week, you seemed very calm, very relaxed. You know, whether you really were and knew your team was taking care of things, or, you know, or whether you had little ducks going on inside of you, nobody would have known that everything wasn't perfect at Del Paso that entire week.
You know, a lot of it was just, I have to say, it was just a tribute to our championship chairman, Dan Spector, who, by the way, said to give you his best. And just the club, we went out 3 years prior to the sites hosting the U.S. Senior Open just to see what we were going to be in store for. And so we really were prepared. And most of my work was really all on the front end. So by the time they teed it up, I was actually pretty relaxed. But yeah, it was just a remarkable experience.
You know, you spoke about all of the charity dollars that that Del Paso and the membership have contributed over the years. There have been so many more that have gone under the radar as well. And, you know, little one-on-ones or, you know, let's see if we can't help you with this. And as I said, it would be hard to find someone in this community that has not been affected one way or another by the membership at Del Paso. But let's talk a little bit about you, Mike. You've been there, you know, just a few months shy of 40 years. You know, when you walked on the property that first time as a young kid, you know, what were you expecting? And 40 years later, how much of that turned out to be true?
Well, I can tell you, I started here just after the Women's U.S. Open in 1982. And I was the least likely candidate who should have been hired as an assistant professional here. But I pestered Les Streeper to the degree where he just hired me to get me off his back. And it was just, he mentored me really like a second father and showed me what it was like to be a golf professional, made it clear to me early on what a special membership this was and how fortunate I was to be here. And I took it to heart. And so just to see, he retired in 1993 and I was fortunate enough to take over. And it's just been an incredible journey to move through the years at this club. And again, the support of this membership, you know, for me personally, I'll cherish the rest of my life.
You know, being a head golf professional at a private club can be a little dicey sometimes, you know, depending on how the membership works with you. But over the years, I've seen the mutual respect between you and the membership, which is really rewarding for both of you. They recognize they've got a really good man. And as you have just said so many times, you recognize the strength of that membership as well.
Yeah. And I think that really was probably the biggest thing that brought that home to me. When we closed in 2005 for a complete renovation of the golf course, we were closed for a year and a half. And just to see how this membership, stayed connected through a variety of different activities. It was a real testament to this membership because that was a long period of time to not have your club, to not have your golf course. And this membership found a way to get through it and be stronger on the other side. And it's been a real reward.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that. For those that are longtime Sacramentans, they certainly remember the old El Paso, I should say, and then the membership decided they wanted a little bit different look and a little longer course, and Kyle Phillips came in, architect of renown, and reimagined the course, and you've got a basically totally different golf course today with a few finishing holes that can make or break a tournament really easily.
Yeah, it was pretty remarkable. We retained Kyle Phillips, and our goal was to maybe add a couple extra tee boxes and improve our practice facilities, and that turned into a complete $12 million renovation and rerouting of the course. And just to be a part of that process was incredible. I mean, we were an all Bermuda golf course, and we eliminated every blade of grass and transformed it into a ryegrass golf course. We went from 6,300 yards to 7,100 yards with five sets of tees, and one of the, I think, as good a practice facility as you'll ever find. And I think the real genius of what Kyle did is to be able to have a championship golf course and then a member-friendly golf course all on the same property. It's just telling to his talent and his vision. So it's something we really appreciate.
Yeah, I think that's a great description. A championship golf course that the members can play and not get beat up. Scott, have you had a chance to play the new Del Paso?
I have. I've been fortunate to get out there. Mike, I have several friends who are members, and just to echo what Frank said, I know they love you. You are like a hero to them. So you have done great work out there at Del Paso. Maybe you can explain.
Let me know who those people are.
Well, I know you know John Drury very well because he was involved in the president there during the time of the championship. So guys like that, Mike, if that helps at all. Maybe you can explain why you went from Bermuda to rye grass. I'm just interested in that as a kind of a golf wonk here and what that meant.
That's a good question. I mean, it was really one of the biggest decisions we had to make. And we were, USGA gave us a lot of guidance. And what it really came down to is we wanted to be playable more months of the year. And it was really hammered into us, quite honestly, that if we invested the money and the maintenance, that, you know, we'd have 9 to 10 months a year where we'd have pristine playing conditions. We'd have to work a little bit during the summer months, really from middle of July to the second week of September. And we've had some struggles in the past, but our new superintendent has been here, a little over 2 years now. And thankfully, we had the most incredible summer of ryegrass conditions that we've ever had. And so we're hoping that's going to be the norm. And it's just to be we did $2.5 million worth of sand capping and the fairways as part of the renovation. And so to be playable year round and not struggling during the winter months was probably the biggest reason.
That makes sense. For somebody who's playing out there today versus what the setup was like during the senior championship, what is the experience in comparison? You talk about, you know, having a championship course that's also member friendly. I'm just kind of curious in terms of the setup, like on a normal day when a member's playing versus what it was like at that time.
First and foremost, it was just the conditions and the height and the density of the rough. We reduced the width of the fairways significantly. And that was for me, it was a real fun process to see how the USGA sets up a championship course. And they really set it up forcing you to hit shots that might not be comfortable. You have to hit the shots the way they're designing the layout. So they reduced the width of the fairways. The ryegrass rough around the green surrounds was, I won't say it was impossible, but it was close to impossible. And so that was really the challenge. And then certainly just the firmness and the speed of the greens, that was a really detailed process where they measured every portion of the green on a daily basis to make it consistent. And again, firmness was, those are probably the biggest differences. We've, you know, gone back to our more normal widths of fairways and certainly nothing to the degree of the rough we had during the championship.
Yeah, no question. Everybody who I has played out there recently said the course has never been in better shape. So that's a testament to you as well. And I'm just curious, final question I have is just, do you foresee Del Paso hosting major events in the future? Is after the experience with what you have at the Senior U.S. Open, will you be going after future majors like that again?
That's a great question. I mean, first, it's one of the things that Del Paso takes such pride in, having hosted five USGA championships, and just Olympic Club and Pebble Beach are the only two in California that have held more. And right now, the club is in discussions with the USGA, again, through our championship chairman, Dan Spector, to hopefully host another major championship in the future.
Awesome.
Mike, after 40 years, you know, you certainly can't talk to Mike Green of 40 years ago, but a new assistant comes in you know, sits down with you the first time in the office. What kind of advice do you have for him, a new PGA professional?
You've probably heard this before. The first thing I asked him is, you know, why they're wanting to get into the golf business. And if it's because they love to play golf, I say, then you might want to be a bartender or a waiter. But it's really, if you have passion for golf, as an aspiring golf professional, and you're committed to working with people and climbing up the ladder, I mean, it's a wonderful profession. I mean, I'm blessed every day to be able to do what I do. And probably the biggest thing would be if they really love the game of golf, then go ahead and pursue it as a career.
You know, obviously, Gary Player is on this particular show as well. And you had a couple of years ago, you mentioned you had a nice half hour with him in your office. Tell us about that.
It was one of the most memorable experiences of my life, to be quite honest. We were hosting a Monday event for Franklin Planner, which Gary Player was a spokesperson for, and they had just finished up the Senior Gold Rush. And Mr. Player came down to do the exhibition, and then he came into my office and asked if he could change his shoes. Well, that turned into just a 30-minute conversation. I mean, he was just such a gentleman and so genuinely interested in me personally. And then he counseled me on golf, family, fitness, basically telling me the way you should live a successful and productive life. And I tried to take in as much of that as I could.
Well, he'll be back Sunday to check up on you and see how you're doing. I think we can report everything worked out for the best. Mike Green, head golf professional at Del Paso Country Club, thanks so much for being with us on the Golf to Go Radio Hour. You are a true gentleman and a great guy. We love you. Keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you both very much.
Great to talk to you, Mike.
Same to you, Scott.
Golf to Go Radio Hour continues right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa.
You are listening to the Golf to Go Radio Hour. Scott, this has been a fun show today. And as always, we're trying to pack a whole lot into an hour. And excited to welcome Ken Morton Jr., Director of Retail from Hagen Oaks here. And Kenny's taken that hat off, and he's ready to talk about golf and guitars. This charity tournament that is now in its 14th year, Ken, has been has become a heritage event here in Sacramento, but it came with a very humble beginning, and has grown to have raised a whole lot of money for charity. So let's talk about how that all happened and where this money goes.
Yeah, well, with your guys' sister station, KNCI, 14 years ago, we had our first one, and it was done with kind of a combination between the then station manager and myself. I have written for a lot of different country music publications over the years and had developed some friendships with some artists and songwriters and some of the label heads. And obviously with KNCI being the premier country radio station in Sacramento for as long as they had a lot of relationships as well. And it just so happened that it was my dad's 50th anniversary at working at Hagen Oaks. And he wanted to have a concert that would act as a fundraiser to fund what was then the first tee of Greater Sacramento. And he wanted Vince Gill. And I asked him, why not Elvis? 14 years later, we are still chasing Mr. Gill. We had his daughter Jenny out a few years ago in our songwriter thing, but we've had nearly 200 major label country music artists come through in that amount of time, and with all kinds of great Nashville songwriters. And it's 2 days. We've raised $1.5 million for every, you know, local golf charity. We've given out nearly $500,000 in college scholarships from the event. And it's really just kind of taken on a life of its own.
Two things. First of all, it's a remarkable number that you've had 200 artists come through. And I'd like you to kind of run through, a few of those to let everyone know the kinds of talent you've had over the years and who they've become since appearing. And then secondly, the notion that this really has become not only a fun event, but it's become a community event that through the Morton Golf Foundation funds many, many charities locally. So it's really a win-win all the way around.
Yeah. So what's unique about the event is that while we have our headliners, I mean, last year we had Walker Hayes and his song Fancy Like might be the biggest, most played song on any genre radio over the last year. But we have all of these up and coming artists that come and play each year. So we've had artists like Chris Young and Thomas Rhett and Charles Kelly as part of Lady Antebellum. We've had artists like Tracy Lawrence and Montgomery Gentry, some great heritage artists come through. But all what's so fun is, you know, last year we had Lainey Wilson, who went on to win an ACM award this last year. There, you know, we have these new artists that are just kind of burgeoning onto country radio. This year, a great example is Jackson Dean. He, a year ago, no one would have heard what he is. He's got a song that's just about to enter the top 10 on country radio that he's might be the next big superstar like Thomas Rhett. And it gives you an opportunity to kind of see him early on in their careers before they're charging, you know, $100, $120 down at the Golden One Center to watch them go play. So, and then your second follow-up question with all the charities, it funds a whole bunch of really cool projects like Swing Club for the Blind, Saving Strokes for Stroke Victims. We have a program called Angels for Hearts, which funds a program that pediatric heart kids that are either had or awaiting heart transplants can actually play golf and be athletes. We have the Latino Junior Golf Association, the Sacramento Area Black Golf Association. All of these cool programs, two programs for vets. Because of this event, we get to fund and have all of these really cool programs inside Sacramento.
And it's a three-part event, which is really quite unique. On this upcoming Monday, you have the Singer-Songwriters Night, which is a kind of a mellow, up close and personal opportunity to see and hear these artists that performing their own works and actually some of the works of the others they're on stage with. And then Tuesday morning, of course, will be the golf tournament. And that format has a country artist celebrity that's going to play in the concert that night, playing with foursomes, which is, again, quite unique. And I know that that your foursomes sell out almost immediately because the people that have played before really appreciate playing with these country artists who enjoy the camaraderie, the opportunity to be with the fans, and certainly welcome people to come out and take a look. And then, of course, on Tuesday night would be the concert where all of these artists that played in the golf tournament get up on stage, and certainly there, when they get on stage, the loudest cheers come from their foursomes, I think.
Yeah, we use the term pro-am very loosely in this golf tournament. There's several artists that are single-digit handicaps, and then there's others that it's literally the very first time they've ever touched a golf club before in their lives. So it's a great combination. It's a scramble format, so I'll never forget Chris Young when he was just starting out. Again, if you don't know country music, he is a mega superstar now. He showed up in boots to come play. We scrambled and found him some size 14 golf shoes to wear out there. And he just happened to get paired with four outstanding players and won the event. And so it's again, it's really fun. It's free to come out and watch the golfers during the morning of Tuesday. So it's not uncommon for us to have a thousand people out on the golf course. You get to take photographs, get autographs. It's really, really fun to be able to rub elbows with all of the artists. And then, again, the concert at the end is kind of the big cherry on top. And we still do have tickets available at golfandguitars.com for that.
Scott, you've seen this in action. What's your reaction to this tournament?
Oh, it's so much fun. And Ken, I have so many questions for you. I wish we were doing like a podcast length interview, because I'd love to get into your background of loving country music. And although our listeners can't see this, the myriad of guitars behind you, I know each one has a story to them, and hopefully we'll have another chance to talk about all of that. But the main thing in terms of this, you know, event is, one, it's very affordable. Tickets as low as $35. So, you know, to put it in perspective for all our fans who go to Country in the Park, I mean, it's along those lines in terms of just affordability, which is fantastic. And there's VIP options as well. But the thing I love about it most, Ken, is, one, you're seeing up and coming artists, but you're seeing them in such an intimate setting too. It's such a beautiful fall evening to enjoy out there at the golf course. And you have it set up spectacularly with the staging and all the things that you do. But you're listening to them play acoustic, which is something that is just totally cool and just something you cannot get from really a country experience anyplace else.
Yeah, it's really intimate, and they're telling stories and, you know, explaining how their day on the golf course went. And I love how intimate and conversational it is throughout the whole night. You know, there's, you know, I'm just as like everybody else. A big concert there at, you know, at Golden One is really fun. But this is, for me, kind of the ultimate music experience, because it's really, you're kind of getting in behind who the artist is. And especially on that first night with our songwriter night, they're, you know, they're explaining what the, you know, the impetus was for even writing the song and who they wrote it with. And you're actually being able to get inside their head and learn, you know, why the song exists. And for me, that's, you know, being able to see the creative behind it's really fun.
No question. And with the charity aspect, it becomes a tearjerker sometimes too, because the stories are personal, they're relevant, they really tug at your heart. And that's what makes this moment so special as well. And the thing I always find fascinating, and, you know, when Frank and I have so many interviews, it's so many walks of life. The common denominator, people love to play golf, and it's really no different with country artists. I mean, Darius Rucker, of course, is known as someone who just absolutely is obsessed with the game, but you find so many of these artists who just love to play golf.
Yeah, for sure. You know, there's artists like Jake Owen and Jack Ingram that you know, they play nearly every day when they're out on the road. Even like Luke Combs, he's another good example. I mean, they're, you know, when you're on the road, you're having to kill an entire day a lot of times. And so these guys use golf as a way to kind of get some exercise and out and recreate before each of their shows.
Golf and Guitars coming up Monday and Tuesday at the Hagen Oaks Golf Complex. Tickets still available at a very affordable price. Get on over to Hagen Oaks and you can buy your tickets right there. Ken Morton Jr., thanks so much for joining us. I wish we had more time. As Scott says, we're trying to pack a lot into an hour, and I think we've done it again. That wraps up another Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sactown Sports 1140 with Scott Marsh. I'm Frank LaRosa. Hope we've hit it down the middle. Join us next week.